Senator Bill Weld plans to headline Politics and Eggs in New Hampshire in 2 weeks, a must-stop for White House hopefuls. And Maryland Governor Larry Hogan expressed interest this week to CNN.
I'm not protesting every day about every issue, but when I stand up and certainly let people know when I disagree or when I think something is going on that I don't think is right.
And an email this week by former Ohio Governor John Kasich's political group reminded supporters that many have suggested Governor Kasich should run, and he is keeping all of his options on the table. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, this is Larry. Oh, hang on.
Can you hear me?
I can hear.
You can hear me? Sorry about that. I had to get the right microphone. Good afternoon. This is Larry McEntee, and this is Home Team Inspection Service. This is Health and Home, and we're coming to you live from the Hunterdon County Chamber Radio Station. Coming to you each Friday at 3 p.m., we will focus on the home and homeowner and try to identify things that you should do and things that you should watch out for and when to call the experts. Each week, we'll talk about topics that the homeowners will find helpful to protect, in most cases, the biggest investment they've made in their lifetime. Today, my guest is Eric Simica of Fletcher & Sons Electrical Service, right here in Flemington. We'll be talking about electrical issues in a moment. But first, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself, as I do each show, just to give you an idea of who you're listening to. I went to the College of William Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia. I played football on a scholarship there and then received my MBA at Fairleigh Dickinson. I began my construction management career right out of college. I actually worked on the Beaverbrook and the Connors Crossing projects here for Leonard Construction back in the late 80s. I then spent the majority of my career in the tech space, selling hardware, software, and then I had a stint making emergency vehicles for the federal government, state, and local agencies after 9/11. We'll cover that in another time.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Virginia's governor promises to remain in office despite widespread calls for his resignation. Ralph Northam is trying to distance himself from a racist photo in his 1984 medical school yearbook.
When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people in that photo.
Northam still faces a chorus of people calling for his resignation. He says he hadn't seen the yearbook until the picture surfaced on Friday. Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox says taking action against him may not be the best course.
And obviously on impeachment, that's a very high standard. And so I think that's why we've called for the resignation. We hope that's what the governor does.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
And I'm back. Hey, the weather today, beautiful Friday for the second Friday in a row. It's going to be partly cloudy, 20% chance of rain, and a high of 58 and a low of 30. Saturday, it's going to be partly cloudy again, high of 43, low of 21, with no chance of precipitation. On Sunday, we'll have 39 and 30, so the temperature comes back down, guys, but no more rain. And then Monday, will be cloudy with a high of 40 and 20 degrees.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good afternoon. Sitting here today with me is Eric Sinka of Fletcher & Sons Electrical Service here in Flemington. Eric, welcome. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself and your company.
Yeah, how you doing, Larry? Yeah, we're a third-generation family business in Hunterdon County. We've been in business for roughly 40 years. My father-in-law, Ernie, is who I learned under, and he apprenticed under his uncle, Gene. And yeah, we've been serving Hunterdon County for almost 40 years. We do commercial and residential electric, a little bit of industrial here and there, kind of a dying breed in Hunterdon County now. But yeah, my father-in-law is a veteran, so we are a veteran-owned company. My wife is in the office. My mother-in-law is in the office. And, you know, so it's truly a family business.
So be careful when you call because you don't know who you're talking to there.
Absolutely.
Huh? Okay. Well, let me tell you a little bit. I'm a home inspector, as you know, and I do a basic electrical inspection. And a lot of people will say to me, oh, you're copping out. You're referring me to a licensed electrician. And we're taught to look for things that are not right and to refer them to a licensed electrician. How long does it take to become a licensed electrician, and what experience do you have to have?
There's an apprenticeship program, which takes 4 years. And then there's a fifth year of on-the-job training that's required. And at that point, you become a journeyman electrician, and you're eligible at that point to sit for your license, which is a state exam that gives you your New Jersey State Electrical Contractor's license.
So you can see, people, it takes quite a few years, so you know, 7 or 8 years to really become an independent licensed contractor.
Yep.
And that's working full-time at it.
Yep, absolutely.
So understand that when we caution you about the electric, it's because it can be complicated. It doesn't have to be, and we're not here to scare you. We're going to talk about it a little bit and teach you a little bit about it. But know when to call the professionals. That's one of the things I always tell people, is know when to call them in and when it's beyond your capability. There is some electrical work in your house that you can do, and it's reasonable to do. And there's some that's not, depending on your skill level and your understanding. When I go into a house, we test outlets. We open the panel. We look for dangerous things. We're basically looking to protect you and your family. Three things that I look for in a house inspection are things that are going to cost you heartache, things that are going to cost you money, and things that are going to cost you safety. So those are the three things that I judge an inspection on. The state of New Jersey says my inspection should be based upon anything that affects the substantial value of the home. But we look more than that. We want to protect you. One of the things that we'll talk about, we're going to talk about aluminum wiring. We're going to talk about generators because those are a couple of things. And then we have a couple other ones if we can get to them today, Eric. I'd like to start with aluminum wiring. People don't understand that aluminum wiring was used from like 1966 to about 72, and it was used because the copper was at a shortage because of the Vietnam War. And can you talk a little bit about aluminum wiring and why people should just be know what it is and not fear it but understand it?
Yeah, aluminum wiring is not the worst possible thing you could have in your home, but it's certainly not the best. The problem with aluminum wiring is it has a greater expansion and contraction rate with when it's heated. So therefore, the terminals on your outlets and your switches and things like that, over time, when you run a heavy load, say a vacuum cleaner, space heater, something like that nature, it tends to loosen the connection. And in my world, a loose connection generates heat, and therefore heat can generate fire. So aluminum, that being said, there are a few ways it could be remedied, you know, certainly. It doesn't have to be destroying the house, you know, and a complete rewire. But obviously a rewire is the best solution, but a lot of times it's not cost effective or it's just too invasive for the home.
Can you talk about, well, I see a lot of pigtails.
Yep, absolutely. And that's one of the remedies, is we call it pigtailing. There's a couple ways you could do it. One is with these purple wire nuts. We're not a fan of that because you're still keeping a copper to aluminum connection. Two dissimilar metals, they don't really agree with each other. The connection can still loosen up. There's a new item out there, these Alumicons, which is a three-port lug, essentially, so that the copper and the aluminum still remain separate. It has an antioxidant gel in it to keep it, you know, fresh and a good connection. And if it's installed correctly, we install it with a torque screwdriver so that it's torqued properly. It should be a one-time fix, no issues down the road. And on a resale, you know, basis, it's a legit, you know, solution to the problem.
Great. Because one of the things people realize is it's not the aluminum that's bad. It's how it behaves with the copper typically and also the receptacles. Because, I mean, the power company uses aluminum to deliver the wire to the house.
Absolutely. The biggest wire in your house is aluminum usually.
Right.
So.
And the wires outside and the poles are aluminum typically because of the cost effectiveness and the availability of aluminum. Plus, people are not stealing the wires on the telephone poles. and you've heard stories where people rip out copper to salvage it. But so there are easy fixes, people. But you got to understand it, and you got to know what you're talking about. Because I mean, I was a fireman for many years, as you know, and we've seen numerous fires where people wire nutted copper wires together, and they overheated in the box and set the house on fire.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. That's the biggest problem with aluminum, and that's why the insurance companies have an issue with it, and obviously, you know, the fire safety issues just that come along with it.
Okay. Another thing that's big is, you know, the new houses are seeing AFCIs.
Yep.
And then we all know about, well, most people know about a GFCI because you're used to seeing that in your bathroom or your kitchen. You don't have to see it because I do lots of houses that are well before that and they don't have to replace them, but I always tell them that it's a good idea to put one in. Maybe you can talk a little bit about GFCI and AFCI and what it's supposed to do for people.
Sure. Yeah, a GFCI is what you, like you said, Larry, is what you see in your bathrooms, your kitchens, and then they make GFCI breakers that protect things like pools and hot tubs. A GFCI is there to protect the person. That is personal protection. The AFCI is an arc fault circuit interrupter. So the reason for an arc fault circuit interrupter is it's supposed to react quick enough that if there is an arc, whether it is a series or a parallel arc in the line, it will kill the circuit. And I was always informed that the reason it came about was if, you know, beds have rollers on the bottoms of them and it gets rolled over the alarm clock wire, the lamp wire, over time it wears through, it arcs, it could ignite the carpet, burn the home down. So I guess on the, if it technically they work the way they're supposed to and everybody put them in, it could kind of essentially end electrical fires, you know, in that respect. So the difference really being one is a personal protection and the other is essentially a structural or you know, home protection.
So, I mean, the jury's still out on AFCI. I understand.
Even
I read a lot in the paper, in the journals that even the good electricians are wondering whether the cost justifies the expense.
Yeah, and a lot of times with the AFCI, people want to protect their home as much as they can, so they're willing to go out and spend the money on it. But a lot of the old wiring methods and things like that aren't really that compatible with the AFCI, you know, with the newer systems. So you can run into nuisance tripping with the new style circuit breakers like that. But we are required to, any new circuit that is installed nowadays is required at this moment, an AFCI breaker.
Great. We'll be right back. I got to do some business here.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back with Eric Simca of Fletcher & Sons Electrical Contracting Service here in Flemington. Eric, I mean, we're in Hunterdon County. There's a lot of old homes. One of the things I come across is knob and tube wiring and two-prong outlets. People, you know, they look down their nose at it like it's a problem. But can you explain maybe a little bit about it, what people should look out for there?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, there definitely are plenty of old homes around here. And a lot of them have been updated and retrofitted and, you know, it's been removed. But there still are plenty that there's knob and tube and the old two-prong outlet. And please don't cut the ground prong off your new TV to make it fit in the two-prong outlet. It's there for a reason. But the two-prong outlet thing, the electrical code allows you to finish using products if you have them in stock when they change the code. So there's plenty of homes out there that we can change over to a three-prong outlet safely, ground the outlet. And it was just that they were put in because the guys had them on their trucks. And so it's a simple repair.
So if you do have that TV, that big screen TV, do you buy the adapter and plug it in, or do you call an electrician and have the outlet switched?
Depends how much you like your TV.
Good question.
The best thing to do is definitely to ground it and have it be a properly grounded outlet. It saves everything in the long run from surges, just from electrical safety standpoints, you know.
And knob and tube is another thing, people. A lot of these old homes have knob and tube, and they've been replaced. But I caution homeowners, if you come across it when you're doing some work in the house or repairing something or removing a wall, don't automatically assume it's not charged or it's not carrying a current. There are plenty of times that I've put a light stick, which is an electrical stick that I can put on anything and tell me if it's current in it. And it lights up like a Christmas tree, and they told me it was all replaced. And Eric, have you come across that?
Absolutely. And probably 80% of the time we come across it, it's in the first floor ceilings and switching, because those were the hard ones to get to. And when they did the replacement, they got the easy stuff, the basement, the attic. And a knob and tube is not the worst thing in the world. It's definitely, you know, should be replaced. But I try to tell people that knob and tube, if you're at the point where you can't afford to replace it all, and it's going to be there, respect it. You don't plug an air conditioner into it, a table lamp, things like of that nature, until you can get it removed. And like you said, Larry, definitely don't assume that it's shut off.
Right.
As we come across plenty of it that is still hot, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing I learned from an electrician is they don't touch anything without checking.
Absolutely.
Because you only get one chance at some of that.
Yep, and you only ever touch it with one hand.
Yeah. There you go.
Don't complete the circuit.
Right. So there you go, people. You know, if you come across that. But I guess with today's things, like you said, like air conditioners or the big TVs or computers, that the best thing to do is if you have that kind of wiring and you don't have the right proper outlet, to call an electrician and get it done right.
Absolutely.
Because then they can check the circuit, make sure.
Yeah, and we do free estimates. So, I mean, we've seen it all. So, being it's a free estimate, there's no reason to not have us come in and at least give you a cursory look and let you know what you have and where you stand as far as replacement goes.
Now I'm going to get to a big subject because after Katrina and the storms we've had recently, generators. I get scared when I see a generator hook up in a house because if it wasn't done right, right away, by the way, in a home inspection, a home inspector refers you to a licensed electrician when you have a generator hookup because there's no way for us to know how they hooked it up or if they did it right. I did one this morning. I did a house this morning. The house was built in 1995. It's got a plug outside, a 30-amp plug for a generator, and it's wired to a switch, the top two circuit breakers in the panel, but it has a metal interlock that's supposed to only allow you to turn that circuit breaker on to the generator to receive power from the generator with the main off. But it was wired wrong. The only way you could turn it on is if the main was on. So I tell people what happens then is you start providing electricity to your neighbor and that the telephone pole outside because the energy will run wherever it's open.
Absolutely.
And I tell them when you electrocute the power and light guy, he's not going to be real happy.
Yeah, they don't get thrilled with that.
So maybe you can talk a little bit about generator and what people should be aware of. And not so much because if they're putting one in, I'm going to recommend they use a licensed electrician and have it done right. But they're going to buy a house and they have a generator. I tell them, call an electrician, have them come and give you an education on it and check it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, especially if you're buying a home and it's coming with either a, you know, standby generator, which is, you know, a fully automated system, or a portable with just, like Larry saw this morning, with an inlet and then an interlock kit. Either way, there should have been a permit on it. There's absolutely no way you install a generator without a permit in the state of New Jersey. So definitely have that looked into. Definitely have a licensed electrician. Give it a once-over. Make sure it was done properly so that, A, it is safe to operate, for your home and for the power company. Those guys are working at, 2 in the morning trying to repair your power lines, and the last thing they need is a stray current, running down their line from your home.
Right. They're trained to check, but at the same time, you turn that on, they're not expecting it.
Yeah, they don't check every 5 minutes.
Right.
They check it once and hope it's good.
And the other thing, the home generators, the home systems, I worry less about because they're usually done by a professional, and they're sized for the house, and they have certain protections. And the ones that you add to the house, and I've done it myself. I put a plug in, but it's a 6,000-watt generator.
Mm-hmm.
Can't run the whole house.
Nope.
The hot water heater goes on. Guess what? It'll blow. But I'm also worried about my electronic components and my TVs, my computers, and all the kids' iPads and everything else. And the generator is not the cleanest power in the world, correct?
It is not. Actually, I just ran into this last week. A customer had furnaces changed. And the furnaces, the circuit boards in them, are actually so sensitive to, I thought it was a voltage issue, but it's actually a frequency issue, that the generator doesn't put out a constant 60 hertz frequency, so the furnaces won't turn on. So he spent the money to replace the furnaces, but now if he's out of power, they won't run on his generator.
Wow.
So it is not a clean power from a portable.
So it's not as simple as just getting a generator and plug it in. I mean, I've seen people who've run extension cords in the house for temporary, and everybody understands when that storm hit the first time and caught a lot of people. But they also, I've had houses that they backfeed the house through the dryer pipe.
Yep.
Through dryer plugs.
Yep. Seen it through dryer plugs, through range plugs.
Now you can do that and it will work, but you got to take certain precautions and you have to know what's drawing on it and what circuits are open.
Absolutely. And we understand, in an emergency situation, you do what you got to do to keep things going. But after the emergency is over, that's the time that you need to schedule some time, have an electrician come in, look at it. If it needs to be tweaked or, reinstalled or changed, it'll be done correctly, safely for everybody involved.
Well, there's my commercial for today. It's call the electrician when we're not having the storm.
Yes.
and plan for the storm. I mean, I'm kind of proud of myself here. I put my generator in. There was no storm. I just decided to go out and buy a generator, and I had a transfer switch put in. And I can run 10 circuits. I can run the hot water heater, but then I have to watch not to turn anything else on.
Yeah.
But I can run the house, the heat, because it's oil heat, and it'll run the fan. And, of course, it runs the TV and the cable box because, that's always important.
Hey, priorities.
but I put that in ahead of time, and when the storm hit, and my wife said, what are you spending all that money for? And, And then about 6 months later, we had that one storm. We had about 4 days out with the isofilm, and we were the only ones that had it. And she was yelling at me because I was running the generator at 11 o'clock at night, and the neighbors were going to complain. I said, they're in the dark. I don't care.
Absolutely.
I said, they're jealous when they hear mine. But yep. You know what? The funny thing is, the power went off last week, and I heard, like, all of a sudden, I heard, boom, 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 boom. Every house around me, those generators are automatically starting up. So
yes, yes, Sandy really sealed the deal around here with people getting generators.
Well, and I assume you put them in, too,
yep,
right?
Yeah, we put in several. We probably put in over a dozen or so standalones a year, and I can't even count how many, you know, inlets and interlocks that we put in.
I tell you the truth, if I was building a house or buying a new house today, I don't think I would even think about buying it without putting in a whole generator, especially if you have natural gas, because then you don't have any fuel requirements.
Yeah. Natural gas, obviously, is the optimum way. It's the cheapest fuel you could run them on. Propane, that gets pricey, and gasoline, you're a slave to the generator at that point, you know, running out to get 5 gallon cans.
And you also got to worry about getting stale, and
it
becomes more of a nuisance, but it can be done. It can be done. And there's also can be run like you said on propane cylinders, but talk to people who know what they are and find out about that. Next thing I want to cover was solar panels. I come across them a lot, and they're a dime a dozen when the guy's installing them.
Yep.
And they're supposed to get permits too. But, you know, just because you got a permit doesn't mean it was done right, and doesn't mean it has been touched since then too. So I caution people. People say, well, it's got a permit. I said, yeah, well, you know, did they change it since they put the permit in?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the permit was taken out in 95, and it's now 2015 or so. You know, right. It's been years and kind of thing,
They replace it. And absolutely. Solar panels scare me because, you know what, you don't shut those off. I mean, they're producing power. You know, today's a beautiful day. You have a power failure. There's still thousands of watts coming off your roof.
Yep.
And
And people kind of get misled into solar in the fact that I've heard several customers ask me that, you know, well, if I'm fine because if the power goes out, I have solar. Well, solar needs power to make power, because if the inverters aren't powered, then the solar doesn't put out into the system, you know. So just because, you know, you have solar doesn't mean you always have power without a battery bank. You know, that new Tesla whole house battery they have and all that sort. So
that's news to me, Garrick. I'm glad I'm hearing this, because I always thought if you had solar power, your own roof, you had it.
Yeah, you're golden.
So it's sort of like my cable, where I thought I had it when it was powered out, but I realized that the relay stations weren't powered and they weren't producing any cables.
Absolutely.
So it's the same sort of thing.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. The inverters need to be on and running with utility power, you know, to do it. Now, I'm not 100%. I'm not a big solar guy, so I'm not 100% on as far as generator power coming in. I'm assuming that if it's a standby generator with clean power, your solar will be active into the home.
But you're saying you need another source.
But you do need it. Yes.
And that's interesting. But the question I have for people is that I was in a house and there was stickers all over the box saying that solar is active. Shutoff was located somewhere else.
Yeah.
And the shutoff was outside behind the pine trees where the field was.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if it wasn't for those stickers, which I'm glad they put like 10 of them on all over the box saying that solar is active.
Yeah, and a lot of that has been brought on by the fire companies because they show up on a nice sunny day. And even if they chop the meter, they still have – there's still power present. Even if it's only to the inverters, it's still there, and it is, you know, a liability for them. You know, and plus they can't get on the roof because now they're solar panels and, you know.
Well, yeah, that's so, a big problem.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that people don't understand. We've got an aerial here in Raritan back in 1990 when I was in here. It was for the reach and because of solar panels and condos. It wasn't for height. Everybody thought, we don't have no 10-story buildings. I'm like, yeah, well, you ever see a condo with a 30-foot setback with a row of cars in front of it?
Absolutely.
And solar panels? in these big homes with the solar panels, you can't vent the roof.
Right.
So those are some issues. But there again, people, you're buying a house with a solar panel, don't assume. Understand the electric and that solar panel producing thousands of watts, that you don't want to be the one grabbing the wire thinking that you shut the circuit breaker off. Sub-panels go along with that. I have houses that have, especially as they get bigger, and or older homes that expand. Mm-hmm. Instead of they expand in their box, they put a sub-panel in.
Yeah.
Can maybe you talk about a little bit about what the difference is? Because there are differences, and I find people thinking they're the same as the box. And
right.
Boxes in sequence are different.
Yeah. And sub panels, there's absolutely nothing wrong with them. They're a great thing. They allow us to bring, you know, a larger circuit to an area of the home that we can now pull, you know, the smaller circuits off of. Like, the biggest is kitchen remodels. But in a sub panel, there are certain rules to be followed. You know, once we leave your main panel and we go to a sub panel, we now have to separate the grounds and the neutrals from each other. So that's a lot. I'm sure you see that a lot on home
right.
inspections.
That's what that I'm looking not, for.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and there's certain protocol that has to be done with sub panels. And a lot of times we know if it wasn't done professionally because when we go in, there's the telltale of right. everything twisted together and, you know.
Eric mentioned the neutrals and the grounds, and it's very easy to see. It's the copper wires and the white wires typically in the box.
Yes.
And in your main panel, you'll see them mixed together and tied down to same screws. And they also should be tied down one wire to each screw. A lot of people will bundle them together and stick them under one screw. And
yep.
they really should be independently screwed down, just like the circuit breaker should be one wire, one circuit breaker.
Yep.
There are some circuit breakers out there that have two wires in it. I see some of the Square D that have the,
yes.
the they're allowed for that. But they have to be rated for that, and you can read that right on the circuit breaker. It usually says 2MC on it or copper, 2 copper.
Yep.
TC2CUs or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and don't panic if you see it. It could be an older home, you know, and
right.
back they did change the code, you know. They change the electric code every 3 years. It's updated. So things like this get changed, and they recently have made it that only one neutral under one terminal. Grounds we can double, but they have to be of the same wire size. And
right.
So there are rules to it. Yeah, it's just not willy-nilly.
And that's something I'm looking at, too, and people don't understand what I'm looking at. I spend so much time looking in the box, I'm looking at gauges.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I'm looking at 12 and 14 gauge and
yep.
making sure the right gauge is in the right circuit.
Yeah.
You have a 14 gauge plugged into a 20-amp outlet, a 20-inch circuit. You risk the overloading that circuit.
Yeah, the wire's not designed for that type of amperage to be drawn on it. So, it you know, if there was a table lamp in it, it's not going to burst into flames. But what the problem is that if there is a motor load or something and that starts overloading, that breaker's not going to trip
soon enough
for that wire to be able to handle it.
One thing I ran into a couple weeks ago was somebody had put it was the wrong gauge wire for 10 inches, and then it wire nutted to the right gauge. And I said to the person, I said, it's working, and it's not going to burn your house down. But I said, there's a reason why that's a 14 and that's a 12.
Right, right.
You know, why would you put the wrong one on there?
It's right.
just that there's your single point of failure.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
You know, we mentioned aluminum wire before, and one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is, and I find this in some of the older homes, is the copper tinned wire.
Yes.
And people say, oh, I got aluminum wire. And I'm like, no, you don't.
Yep.
I mean, it's cloth. It's in BMX. They didn't do aluminum wiring when you had cloth-coated wiring with BMX. It's more than likely copper-tinned. Maybe you can talk about that.
Yes. Yeah, it was a process, that obviously someone engineered that decided that was going to be the way to do wire. And that's essentially what it is. It's a copper cord wire, and it just has a tin coating on it that they ran through it. And it's before my time, but I'm assuming that the whole point of it was corrosion resistance, due to the copper being exposed to, any kind of moisture.
I thought it was priced, too.
I'm sure, like everything. Yeah, price see, definitely
the,
affected
the
it.
The tin was a little cheaper than the copper.
Absolutely. You know, but it is a copper cord wire, so at the end of the day, it is not aluminum. And I've even had a electrical inspector say I put, aluminum wire on, and I had to, cut it for him and show him that.
And the only way you can really tell, looking at it, is take the wire out of where it is and look at the end of it. Sometimes you have to cut the end of it because it's tarnished over.
Yep.
And then you'll see it looks like a pastry in a way. There's a copper center with a silver, but remember, your home inspector can't pull the wires, and I'm not pulling wires out of a live box.
Right
So when I see it, I call for a licensed electrician only because of the age of the wire.
But
when absolutely. I see BMX wire with what looks like aluminum wiring, I know it's not aluminum wire.
Yeah exactly. And most of the aluminum wire that I've come across is a black plastic jacketing on the exterior of the whole cable assembly. So if you do look in your panel and you see a lot of black plastic wire going in, it's not a end all that it is aluminum, but there's a good chance it is.
Yeah, with that, I mean, my house actually, I lived in Flanders in the development. But it was all white wire with aluminum. But
mm-hmm.
It was marked. Usually, it's marked every 12 to 14 inches, and you'll see AL on it.
Yep, absolutely.
So look for the coating on the wire today.
Mm-hmm.
Today, the wire's color coated.
Yes.
Tell me about that, because I mean, it caught me off guard a little bit. And when I first started back, and I start seeing the orange and the yellow and the white, and they tell me, well, now the jackets are coated.
Yep.
'Cause it used to all be white.
Absolutely.
Or tan or whatever.
Yeah. there's two schools of thought on it. One was it was brought on by the inspectors so that they can identify it easily without having to, you know, crawl into a crawl space or something. They could see that it is orange is 10 wire, yellow is 12 wire. You know, we also think it was a cutoff point. So now you can't say, well, that wire's been there for 30 years, because they know that it wasn't. they didn't start making that until, you know,
that's
10 years ago.
So you can't say I bought it like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So kind of when they started switching over, guys were kind of, you know, hoarding the all white wire, you know.
That's interesting. I never thought of that.
Yeah. So two schools of thought, you know.
I like it because I don't have to, you know, get my reading glasses out and make sure I can see the difference. Because, you know, the difference between a 12 and a 14 in the box is very difficult to tell.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you know, we try to get it, but... Let's go on to talk about pool safety, because pools are big. And, you know, we do inspections, and I'll check the electric box, but I don't really check the function of it, because unless I'm there when they build a pool, a pool has to be grounded in a specific way. So a pool is one thing, and also a jacuzzi tub. People think you just drop it in and plug it in.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah, there's some that do, but very few. You know, the thing with pools is the most common pools I see that are done, should I say incorrectly or just not to par, are the above ground pools. And there's certain rules you have to follow. They need to be bonded in certain ways to prevent any kind of you know, grounding issues between you being in the pool and your buddy being out of the pool, you know, and you have a difference of grounding potential, and that's where shocks can, you know, happen. So a lot of that stuff, you know, if you're interviewing a pool company to put in a pool at your home, you know, if they don't state right on there that, you know, licensed electrical contractor, this is his name and this is how it's going to be done, then I would really think twice about that company, because it is a life safety issue. You're swimming in, you know, water with motors involved and lights.
That's a good point, because, you know, and a lot of that work has to be done right when they're building.
Absolutely.
Because the you know, the ground wire around the pool to ground the walls of an in-ground pool has to be laid in the concrete, and it has to be run. Much the same as your grounding in the house. I mean, grounding rules, you know, as a home inspector, I'm looking for a buyer. I look for a grounding system in place.
Yes.
I can't tell whether it's right or not, and I'm not allowed to really, because, I mean, it's a code issue, and I'm not supposed to, you know. Today they have two grounding rods, and years ago they had one grounding rod. And years ago they connected it to the copper water pipe.
Yep.
PEX throws a whole new gamut in it, because now you'd have a break in the copper.
Yeah.
What do you, you know, I had one guy, I actually, the two ground rods were on the side of the house and the wires were disconnected. And he says, well, his lawnmower hits him. I'm like, huh? I mean, you know, the ground rods were outside his meter and they were 6 feet apart, and there was two of them there like they're supposed to be, but there was no wire connected, and it was because he couldn't weed whack around them.
Yeah.
So talk about the grounding and what, you know, what should people look for? Should they be checking that? I mean, I check where they clamp on, because that's where they tend to break.
Yeah, absolutely. The, In the standard home, there should be two ground rods, which you know, will obviously be outside of the home. There'll be a copper wire running to them and jumped in between them, and there also will be a water bond, which will go to most homes in Hunterdon County are well. So normally that water bond will run to wherever your well equipment is in your basement, and you should be able to see it. There should be a copper wire going to a clamp right on the pipe. If there isn't, it's because it came in plastic. Like you said, you know, PEX and the well guys use plastic piping, so then they can go to a different location. But it should still be bonded to your copper piping. The one we see missing the most is the bonding jumper, which probably 85% of the time is on your water heater, because that's the easiest place, because we got a hot and a cold pipe coming in.
Right next to each other.
Yep, right next to each other. It's the cheapest, obviously. It's a little bit of wire, two clamps, but that should also be there. And I'm sure, you know, people get, you know, water heaters don't last forever, and a lot of times when they get changed, there's no permit, and there is, just so everybody knows, you are required to get a permit to change a hot water heater.
Electrical and plumbing.
Yeah, electrical and plumbing, exactly. And, you know, they do that, and I think, honestly, the electrical portion of it, you know, obviously the plumber can change a couple wire nuts, but is really to make sure that bonding jumper's in place, you know, so then you don't have a difference in potential between the hot and the cold pipes in the home.
And one of the things that I'm finding is that becomes less of an issue now with some of the homes with the PEX system, because, you know, it's copper right there at the hot, you know, we still want to see copper next to the heater.
Yep.
But 12 inches away, it turns to
PEX. Yeah, we brought that up with inspectors, you know, that what do we do? You know, there is no thing to bond to, you know, because paint things are becoming PEX or PVC or any of that. And at that point, they tell us, you know, well, you bond it where you can, and you ground it where you, you know, to the ground rods and such, and it's but the way of the future.
People, this is why you need an electrician when you get into those kind of issues. I mean, changing an outlet, changing a putting a ceiling fan in, yeah, you can probably do it as long as you understand what's required as far as a box and what's going to hold up that fan mm-hmm. so it doesn't come down on somebody's head. But you can do that. But, I mean, these are some issues that you need to make sure that your house is bonded. I mean, it could affect your sensitive equipment.
Absolutely.
It could affect your life.
Yep.
It affect your GFCIs, I'm sure. The bonding is there to take the errant current to the ground instead of into somebody else or into something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
what it's there for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. Your grounding gives that, you know, path of least resistance. Flows like water, you know, and it gives it that it gives it a point of reference, you know, and for any stray things, any stray voltages and, you know, as a licensed electrician, you know, we're required to do 34 hours of continuing education every code cycle. So we're up to date on all these little changes and things that they take out of the code. They put in the code for safety reasons, you know, so really we're versed on it, you know, where the average homeowner, you know, they might know something, but they don't know all the little right. You know, nuances.
So I tell people to look for those clamps because that's where I see most of the failures.
Yeah.
Outside is because they've been abused by a lawnmower or
yep,
you know, something else, or weed whackers, or because they're right next, usually they're near the foundation, near the meter. Sometimes they're not because depending on where the box is and everything else. But in an inside, they're around the meter. Usually the meter has a jumper.
Yep.
And I tell them, look at the clamps, because when they use cheap clamps, they corrode.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. People save a couple bucks to use a cheap aluminum clamp instead of using a good brass or copper clamp that mm-hmm. will last forever.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you have a home, yeah, like you said earlier in the show, it's that's the biggest investment most likely you're going to make in your life. So, you know, on the grand scheme of things, you know, those little items that are a few dollars or, you know, it's money well spent.
Sure. Yeah. Maybe you can talk about, this is one of my pet peeves that I don't think I understand completely, but is the jumper on the gas lines? Because, I mean, we're using CSST pipe in the house. And for people that know that, that's a yellow-coated flexible steel pipe.
Yep.
And it has to be bonded. I mean, yes. It has to be jumped.
Yeah, there's two different kinds. There's the yellow, like you said, and that has to be bonded back to the panel. There's a black version of it that doesn't have to be bonded, but, you know, honestly, I still recommend it be bonded. And what it was for, the yellow one was, at least I was informed, we were told that if there was a lightning strike and that is not bonded to the panel, that surge of current through that pipe can create pinholes in it. And then you'll have a leak, a gas leak. And that's something that you wouldn't necessarily even ever know about until it's sort of too late. So we are required to bond that. And for some reason, the plumbers aren't required to bond it. We're required to bond it.
Yeah, I saw a brand new house that passed township inspection.
Yeah,
with the from the black pipe to the flex pipe, and there was no bond.
Yeah,
between them.
Yeah.
And the black pipe is typically bonded already.
Yeah,
so you just have to bond. Sometimes it's a jumper. It's a 6-inch jumper from the coupling to the to the black pipe.
Yeah, and certain townships require certain things. In New Jersey, we don't abide by the National Electric Code. We use the UCC code. And that way they adopt the electrical code. So not every, you know, every township is 100% the same as the last one. So, you know, you might have moved from a different county and they didn't require certain things. So you really need to, you know, whether it's a plumber, an electrician, whatever that system may be in your home, have someone that's an expert on it look at it.
Sure. And you know, and just like you just say, the code officials are different too. They have different opinions. So do electricians.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
I mean, you know, that's why, but you're paying for that trust.
Yes.
I never mind paying if I trust the guy. It's when I don't trust them that it bothers me that I pay for them. So we're going to take a few minutes here for a couple of updates, and then we'll be back and we'll wrap up with Eric and some of the things that you should know about your home. I hope you are enjoying the show today. It's one of my better ones so far, so I appreciate it. Thanks for listening on the Hunterdon County Chamber Radio Station.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterton-chamber.org. The Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back with Eric Simca of Fletcher & Sons Electrical Contracting. Eric, we were just talking during the break about people going to the trades, and I'm a big fan of this old house. As a matter of fact, I worked on this old house for Atlantic Construction back in 1985 and one of the first this old houses in Millington there. Are you finding it difficult to get help?
Yeah. I mean, all the trades, actually. You know, obviously being in the trade, I have friends that are plumbers and roofers and builders and all that. And yeah, there's just a lack of it. You know, we have a lot of guys out there that go into the apprenticeship programs and either just it's not what they thought it was going to be, or it's more work than they wanted to do. But yeah, it just seems that there's a real lack of people in the trades. And, you know, it's kind of heartbreaking, you know, because it's going to be one of them, you know, everybody still needs electric and everybody still needs plumbing. And, you know, with the lack of, you know, guys out there getting into it, it really seems to be, there's just a shortage in the trades.
You know, Eric, I'm going to butt in. I'm Pat. I'm the next program. But one of the things that I think is the problem is a lot of these younger people don't realize how smart you have to be in order to be able to do that kind of work. I'm always amazed at, you know, how much the electricians and the contractors and everything, you know, need to know. I don't think I know as much math as many of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and thing is, too, is my right-hand man, Peter, you know, he decided in high school that he wanted to, you know, be an electrician and, you know, got out of school. He's worked with me for 15 years. And, you know, he's far ahead of the game. No college debt. He's making good money. I was going to say,
it's not for lack of good money because there's good money out there.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
My nephew just dropped out of he stopped going to college. He was doing well, but he didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
He's going to trades college.
Absolutely.
And down in Delaware, and I think he's focusing on masonry.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tell him I got lots of work for him because, I mean, good mason's hard to find.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he loves it. I mean, but he learns electrical and everything else. So it's interesting that, you know, you say that. And tell you the truth, if I had to do it all over again, I mean, I love working with my hands, and it's a passion of mine. It's one reason I'm in home inspection. You know, woodshop was one of my best classes in high school. And, you know, I won a second place. I built a grandfather's clock in high school. But I love working with my hands. But it's funny that that's one of the courses that I remember. I still use those skills today.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I took courses in high school that didn't mean anything. But
yeah. And I mean, yeah. And, you know, being an electrician, just seeing, I see all the trades, you know, I fix everything in my home, you know, because I've seen it or I know it or I have a friend that does it. And, you know, it really gives you that advantage in life, you know, where you're not relying on hiring everybody for everything.
As we start to wrap up, I just want to say one thing that, you know, one of the things I said in the beginning is know when to ask the experts. One of the things that, you know, Dale Carnegie, I'm a big believer in reading biographies, but one of the things that was find somebody who's doing it right and imitate him or ask him for advice. Would you think that that's a good advice for somebody who's thinking about doing electrical work? Find somebody who's a licensed electrician and ask them first.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is stuff out there that we do that I, you know, don't necessarily feel that is above the customer's head, you know,
well,
their level.
Well, wait a minute. I have to tell you, when it comes to electrical work, that is the one thing. I'm fairly handy, but that's the one thing that I'm very careful about.
Yeah, I tell people, try to just know your limit.
Well, I think we began the show with that, know what you know and know what you don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Not knowing what you don't know could get you killed.
Yeah, I mean, I changed my own faucet and stuff like that, but when I redid my kitchen, I had my buddy the plumber do it because I don't know all the tricks of the trade, you know?
Well, and your wife's going to inspect that kitchen.
Absolutely.
But also, you know, a little flood's not going to kill you.
Right.
Electric is something that it's our friend. It's in everything we do.
Yeah.
God knows we're using it more and more every day. But you know, it's funny, you see these Tesla cars burn up, but Tesla says, wait a minute, how many car fires were there last week that had gasoline in them?
Yeah. Absolutely. Electric, same thing.
The news puts it on the news. It says, the electric car burned up. And I'm like, yeah, one in the country burned up yesterday, but there's probably 16 car fires on 78 going to Newark this morning.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
So you got to things in perspective.
And electric's fairly safe when you really look at it over the, you know, the course of our history.
What would you like our listeners to take away from you today, other than the fact that it's Fletcher & Sons, it's right here in Flemington? Maybe you want to leave your phone number.
Our phone number is 908-782-3100. We're a, you know, like I said earlier, been in business for over 40 years in Hunterdon County, so we can definitely, you know, take care of any of your electrical needs. And just, you know, really, like I said, know your limits. I'm not saying call me for, you know, a light bulb that's out, but definitely know your limits. You know, electric, it says right on the back of my truck, wiring's not a hobby. Leave it to the professionals.
That's a great saying. And one of the things that you mentioned, you give free estimates.
Absolutely.
So if you have something and you're afraid and you don't know how much it's going to cost, you might be surprised that it's probably, you know, it's going to take you 4 hours. It might take them 20 minutes.
Right. Yeah, everything is a major deal.
Right. And if you know what you're doing, you have the right tools, I find.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, knowing how to snake a wire from the ceiling to the floor.
Yes.
If you ever try to do it, it can take you 4 days, and the electrician will come in and do it in 20 minutes. So if he's offering free estimates, I'd call him on it if you have a project that you want to know. And be safe about it because, like I said, electric's one of the things that I take for seriously. It's one of the biggest part of my investigations when I do a home inspection because I don't want somebody buying it. I only came across one box where I actually told the agent to call the seller's agent and tell the homeowner because the box was melted together. I mean, the wires were all like just glued together. Yep. Now that was still active. It was cold at this moment, but something happened in this box at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And I said I couldn't go home and know that there was a family sleeping here.
Yeah.
And not have that look.
Yeah, and we do run into issues like that we really have to push it that, hey, this is a safety concern and, you know, money's not everything, you know.
Right. I've opened up a number of boxes in my lifetime that, you know, thank God it was in a box because everything inside is melted. And if it wasn't in a box and it wasn't sealed and covered, the attic was on fire.
Yes.
So understand there's a reason for a lot of that code.
Yeah.
Take it for, you know, I want to thank you, Eric. I mean, did you give your phone number there?
Yes, I did. Okay. I'll give it again.
Yep.
It's 908-782-3100.
I want to thank Eric today. Next week, we're going to have John McClain from Remax Realty. He opened up a new office up there in White House Station. John's going to be talking about house buying and the process and what you need to make the jump to home ownership. It's, you know, doing it right and is going to make the difference between you buying the dream home and maybe buying a house that isn't the dream home. And again, your home is your single biggest investment in most people's lives. So John's going to be here to talk about that. And the following week, we're having Jan Fisher from Radon Supplies here in Flemington. We're going to talk about radon. A lot of misnomers out there about radon. People panic about radon. They don't know what it is. And some people, you know, I think Jan told me that if the radon gas was green and it stunk, you'd be screaming to have it fixed in your house. But because it's odorless and you can't see it, people don't care about it. But it's dangerous, and it has to be mitigated. It's dangerous, but it's like electric. If it's managed, it's very safe in the house, and I mean it's very safe to get rid of. And we're going to talk about radon on the first, so we look forward to that. A little bit about home team inspection, and this is self promotion, so I to be honest with you, but home team inspection, that's my company. We do home inspections, but we take the time to tell the story of the house. Our goal is to explain the house to the buyer and to make you feel comfortable with your purchase. That doesn't mean we don't tell you what's wrong with the house. I mean, my report is a negative report. It's about the things in the house that need attention or you should know about. Their safety issues, heartache issues, or money issues. In every house I've ever done, even if it had a bad basement or bad electric work, it can be bought and fixed. It depends on whether you want to do it, whether you want to negotiate the price to do it, or you want to fix it. So think about that we're there to look to that unemotional view of the house to get you ready for it and to refer you to licensed professionals, licensed plumbers, licensed electricians, and understand that contractors are typically not licensed in the state. They have a registration. They register to fix your wall. Electricians, plumbers are licensed. That comes with education. It comes with schooling. It comes with money. They have to be invested in their company, and they have to look forward. And it's a big difference between a licensed guy and a guy who says, well, he knows a little bit about electric. So please, one of the biggest things is a licensed electrician. I got a couple minutes here before we wrap up. But, Eric, do you have anything that you want to add before we hit my timer? I'm still working on my time zone here, so imagine. I'm not as good as the guys on WPLJ, so.
No. I mean, you definitely stress the point that with your home, it's your pride and joy. It's what you're investing your money into. So whether it's a plumbing issue or an electrical issue, definitely get the expert in. Me or one of the other electricians in this county. We all go through the same training, the same schooling, and we all follow the same code. So and most of them do free estimates. So there's no cost. So definitely have a professional look at issues for you, because they can give you ideas, remedies to situations that you may have.
There you go, people. Get the estimate, because you might be surprised. It might be something you can tackle, and they may tell you that. They may tell you that it's not worth them to come here. This is what you got to do. But
absolutely.
Make sure you check with the professionals. I'm going to leave you with this, and I leave you with a quote every week. In Valentine's Day being yesterday, it's a quote from Orson Welles, and it says, "We're born alone, we live alone, we die alone. Only through our love and our friendship can we create the illusion for the moment that we're not alone." Have a good week. Enjoy the nice weekend that's coming. It's going to be a little cooler, but it's going to be beautiful. We'll see you next Friday. Again, we're having John McClain from RE/MAX Realty. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Virginia's governor promises to remain in office despite widespread calls for his resignation. Ralph Northam is trying to distance himself from a racist photo in his 1984 medical school yearbook.
"When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people in that photo."
Northam still faces a chorus of people calling for his resignation. He says he hadn't seen the yearbook until the picture surfaced on Friday. Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox says taking action against him may not be the best course.
"And obviously on impeachment, that's a very high standard. And so I think that's why we've called for the resignation. We hope that's what the governor does."
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance, just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil synthetics. Terms apply.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
Ahead of the State of the Union address, President Trump has decided to speak out about several military issues. After the president said sending U.S. troops to Venezuela was an option on the table, Margaret Brennan on CBS's Face the Nation asked him if he would personally negotiate with Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro to convince him he should leave office.
Well, he has requested a meeting, and I've turned it down because we're very far along in the process. You have a young and energetic gentleman, but you have other people within that same group that have been if you talk about democracy, it's really democracy in action.
He also said he wanted to leave U.S. forces in Iraq so he could keep a close eye on Iran. He also claimed that Defense Secretary James Mattis resigned because he told him to do it. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800. 800-